And obviously, we're living in a culture and a generation here in the United States that we're putting worth into sin. We're putting worth into self, you know, and, you know, we're putting worth into debauchery. And the church, sad to say, is not, you know, living a life to be separate, living a life to be whole, living a life to, you know, honor the Lord.
And welcome to Thin Line Believers. Here is Michael with the
introduction. Oh, you're throwing me under the bus already?
Totally, because I could see you weren't prepared for it.
I'm always prepared, bro. My name is Mike. I love Jesus. Adam loves Jesus.
It's true.
You know, and we love coffee. We love working out. And we love living out our faith. That's what's important, right? So.
Absolutely.
Yes. Well, it's been a while, folks, as far as podcasts go. So we're just going to let the Lord lead on topics and subjects today. And at least we're going to get a podcast in this new year, 2023, in the month of January. I just got back from Israel, so I'm kind of pumped about living the Christian life and loving Jesus and his people. So, but let's pray and let's get into this. Lord, we ask you to just bless this podcast, Lord, and guide and direct our subjects and topics, Lord, and especially want to lift up those that wear the uniform day in and day out, Lord. Have put a hedge of protection around them, Lord God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Well, do you want to bring up the New York statue first, or you want me to talk about
I want to start with a statue because your Israel trip makes me jealous. So maybe we'll finish with that one.
That might be good.
Let me just share my screen here, if technology will allow. Yeah, sure. Why not? Share the whole screen. I don't care.
Oh, while you do that, I'll see if I can pull up my end.
Here is what we are looking at. And the reason that this caught my attention this morning is because Michael shared it on his stories on the good old Instagrams. And then just ignore all these extra little advertisements and stuff here. It's demonic, says the title. 8-foot gold statue with twisting horns and tentacles paying homage to Ruth Bader Ginsburg's fight for abortion rights is erected on New York City courthouse, but locals mock the satanic eyesore. And I'll just read the first couple paragraphs here. A new gold statue pays tribute to Ruth Bader Ginsburg's fight for abortion rights has been called satanic and mocked for its horns and tentacles. After it was unveiled in New York, the 8-foot sculpture named Now stands on the courthouse of the Appellate Division building in the Flatiron District alongside statues of famed lawmakers like Moses, Confucius, and Zoroaster. Unlike the other statues, however, it bears little resemblance to its inspiration. Ginsburg served on the Supreme Court championing women's rights before her death in 2020. The sculpture's hair is like a ram's horns, and its arms have been replaced with protruding tentacles. Pakistani-American artist Shanzia Sikander, 53, told the New York Times the statue was meant to symbolize a fierce woman and a form of resistance in a space that has historically been dominated by patriarchal representation. Couldn't get that word out. Many on social media, however, condemned the design, calling it a satanic eyesore that resembles Medusa as it's standing on the historic rooftop. And there is an image if you're watching this. Ooh, photo gallery. Get you a few views of this darn thing. It appears to me to be rather disgusting. And there's your artist, I guess.
How lovely.
Yeah. Okay. That's not where we're going. All right. Back to this. Interesting. This might come across on there.
Oh, look at that. A vortex of views.
Yeah. Anyway, Michael, what do you think about that thing?
You know, just off the top of my head, artists, you know, God bless them. I think it's sad that we're embracing artists in such a way we're upholding them in a platform to not honor the country or not honor God, but to honor their ideology, right? In days of old, the artists that served the kings were artists that honored God, right? Michelangelo and Leonardo, those were dudes that they were phenomenal artists, but yet they had a devout reverence for the Lord at some point in their lives. I can't speak for, you know, I'm not a historian, so I can't speak for them, but also reminds me going back to Lucifer. Lucifer, obviously, was an angel in heaven. He was a worship leader and, you know, the worship leader of that time in heaven. But at the same time, worship leaders are artists in a sense, you know, combining art and music together. Obviously, the goal of not all art, but some art, like the one that is erected on the New York courthouse, isn't really honoring Ginsberg. It's honoring the ideology of the artist.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And they're justifying, you know, women's rights or whatever. And, you know, it's what's sad is people don't realize how much of a role United States has had worldwide on helping women with freedom. You go to most other countries, women don't have rights. Women don't have freedoms. And it's many times it's through the godly Christian work that was done here in the United States that has spread abroad for the freedoms for women, right?
Right. And we could look to Afghanistan as an example of that, right? Pre-Biden, we had women gaining a lot of freedom and then handing Afghanistan back over to the Taliban. It's worse than it was before, I believe.
Yeah. You know, I think you're 100% right on the whole concept, because where, how can I say this? When law enforcement and fire or military are doing its job, there's a, I don't want to use the word godly, but righteous fear, you know, where like, if I do this, this is the consequence and this is what's going to happen. Right. So obviously our country is going through a delusional state where Antifa, BLM could destroy property and buildings and cities, yet they get a slap on their wrists. But yet, if the righteous or the right side wants to protest this peacefully, you know, they're going to get investigated and put in jail and whatnot, you know? And, you know, it's like he used to be a former New York commissioner and then went to LAPD. What is his name? Branton. So when he was a New York commissioner, police commissioner, he really changed the town. I think he sat under Rudy Giuliani when Giuliani was the New York mayor. And then they really cleaned up the streets. Anytime there was any type of crime, you're locked up and you're going to pay a fine, right? If you can't pay the fine, you're locked up. Well, William Branton is his name. And then he went to LAPD and he cleaned up the streets of LA, right? And so, you know, that criminals know, like, oh shoot, if we do this, we're going to get caught. This is a risk, right? And so, but nowadays, police work more than fire, obviously. Even cops now are thinking, well, why pull them over, even though I have probable cause to pull them over? And I have every right to arrest them for the crime that they committed, because the DA is just going to slap them on their wrist and then let them go, right? I know it's somewhere in the Proverbs, that's what I was talking about, when the righteous are not ruling, all hell's going to break loose. And that's what we're living in right now.
Yeah.
And it's sad because, you know, tying it back to the ideology with the artists is, once these things start to be erected, there's that Pandora's box that opens up for, you know, idol worship. And if I'm not mistaken, God says in the commandments, thou shalt not make any idols, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what it really is. It's a representation of an idol there in the heart of New York on the footsteps of the courthouse. And it's just mind-boggling to me, because you know, if a dog gives birth to a puppy, right? As an owner of a pet, right, you would do whatever you can to save that puppy. If you had you have obviously a cow. If your cow had a calf and the calf needed help, you would do whatever is necessary to save the calf. But why is it in our country that we're fighting, and it's labeled women's rights, and we need to change that verbiage? Is no, we need to save the baby. It's not a woman's right; it's the baby's rights. But yet, you know, we've got drugs that women can take. What is it? 24-48 hour drug, and it kills the baby, and they, you know, pass it through in the toilet. And yeah. What saddens me is, I was supposed to be aborted when I was, you know, when my mom was pregnant with me. It was my father who did not know the Lord who fought for me. And what saddens me is we have women that are calling it women's right when it's not a woman's right. It's the baby's life. They're right, you know, but hey, endangered species, like, you know, animals in the forest, oh, they're endangered. We got to spend millions and millions of dollars protecting them, but yet not women. And so this is a touchy subject for me. I don't want to get too emotional about it, but you know, if my dad didn't fight for me, I wouldn't be here today.
Yeah. Well, I like the way Jack Hibbs put it. You have living sperm, you have living egg.
Mm-hmm.
They come together and they create something living with a separate DNA from the mother and father, right? It's its own organism.
Mm-hmm.
And yet we want to say, no, it's not alive until heartbeat or whatever the case is.
Yeah.
So was it dead up until then? Because I don't think that's right.
Yeah. No, I agree. I mean, it's a touchy subject. You know, the women that are fighting for abortion, and it's their right, and they're calling for this and calling for that. And I'm like, they're alive to voice their opinion, but yet they're trying to silence the baby inside the womb that's already silent in a sense, vocally, but yet it's alive with a heartbeat.
Yeah.
And you know, that statue, I think the Blaze put it on their post.
Yeah.
Where, you know, it was an in comparison to Moloch.
Yeah.
Right.
Isn't that just spot on?
And, you know, was it Billy Graham who said it? I forget who said it. If God doesn't, not that I think he's trying to judge God, but I think it's just the statement I said. I think it's where if God doesn't judge the United States, he owes Sodom and Gomorrah an apology.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, now, that's a strong statement. You don't tell God that he needs to apologize for anything. I think it's just that we're going into that direction of, you know, how do you say it? Like, we are no different than Sodom and Gomorrah, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I'll talk about Israel. You know,
I'll talk about Israel. About how we do it.
Yeah. I'll talk about Israel towards the end, but I found out on this last Israel trip that the IDF, Israeli Defense Forces, they offer 2 free abortions for female soldiers.
2?
Free. 2 free. And now, you know, in Israel, you're required to serve the military, right? Mm-hmm. When you're 18 out of high school, so for 2 years. I mean, if hypothetically, if there's 100 female soldiers and they didn't respect the marriage bed and they slept around or whatever, and they got pregnant, and if the 100, each of those female soldiers got 2 abortions, that's 2,000, if my math is correct. Babies that just got aborted, you know. And I think, I don't know if it was Seth Gruber or maybe it was Jack Hibbs in one of his studies who said, we don't know who we just murdered. That could have been a scientist. That could have been a doctor. That could have been a Nobel Prize winner, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the fact that our country, and, you know, partly I blame the churches and the pastors not getting out there in the forefront of this fight, you know, and fighting for life. I mean, because you got churches now supporting the yahoos like Senator Warnock. I don't know why he calls himself a reverend to begin with. And I don't know why he calls himself a Christian. But I was shocked and surprised to see so many pastors, churches, and Christians that are supporting the death of a baby.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And our country is just going in the wrong direction. I don't know how else. When you don't honor life, you're going in the wrong direction.
The only, I think, in my opinion, the only thing that has held judgment, okay, maybe 2 things, is that there are a lot of true Christians in this country.
Mm-hmm.
So the Holy Spirit is here, right? But our support of Israel has given us God's mercy, but that's going to go away too.
Mm-hmm.
I like what John Corson says, that God's justice, the wheels of God's justice turn slowly, but they grind thoroughly. And Psalm 82, this is one I actually have in my car for work. Up on the dash, it says, defend the poor and the fatherless, do justice to the afflicted and needy. And we're called to defend those who can't defend themselves.
What verse was it? Psalm 82?
Psalm 82, verse 3. We're called to defend the defenseless. Mm-hmm. That's...
Yep.
And granted, the psalmist here is calling on the Lord to do that. But it is part of being a person of faith. God doesn't believe in natural selection. He believes in defending the poor and the needy. That's why Jesus was so radical in his day when he came, and he actually honored women when there was no honor for a woman at the time.
Yeah.
He went out to the lepers when, until Jesus came, they were outcasts. They weren't even allowed to come into this city. So we as Christians, we are, and especially if you're in law enforcement, listen to this, man, you are supposed to defend the defenseless. That's what we're called to do. I do think that these statues, not to completely change direction here, but I do think that these statues, the more that we're seeing these pop up, what was the other one? Oh, at the UN building, right? That weird beast thing.
Oh, yeah.
With wings and all that stuff. I think that a lot of these statues that we are seeing are very representative of where we are as a society anyway, because it looks a whole lot like if we were to go back to, what was their names? Anyway, when the Israelites finally crossed over the Jordan mm-hmm. and entered the promised land with Joshua, right there, God told them, go in and conquer this land and rid this land of these idols and like Molech, Baal, mm-hmm. The Asherah poles. But then we see in the books of Samuel, Kings, Chronicles, how they would bring these back in. And, you know, the blessing of Manasseh. You remember King Manasseh?
Mm-hmm.
Just before... not Josiah. It was before Josiah.
I was just reading this in the Chronicles.
Yep, me too. The one who found the law, cleansed the land, held the Passover.
Oh, that's going to be
Jehoshaphat.
Yes.
Okay, so Manasseh was evil, wicked, brought these idols into the temple and just totally defiled the temple with all these nasty idols that he brought back in. And that's what we're doing as a country now. But in Chronicles, we read that Manasseh was actually, I think it said that he was basically caught with hooks, right?
Mm-hmm.
And taken captive. And it says that he humbled himself, that he called upon the Lord his God. And because of that, we see Jehoshaphat, he, as a kid, I'm assuming he saw all this. And it says that Jehoshaphat was a good king.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that there is hope today. But it's going to cost us if we have to wait until judgment comes to remove all these idols, all of this stuff of the flesh, because I mean our options are really Manasseh, humble yourself and return to God and he will return to us, or Sodom and Gomorrah.
Mm-hmm.
Judgment's coming.
You know, I think there's that thought when they say it's going to get worse before it gets better. You know, I think I don't know where we are. I think with this administration and, you know, like even when I was in Israel, there's some, you know, Israeli folks, they're like, you're from America. I was like, you know, when you're a tourist in Israel, you stick out like a sore thumb. And they're like, you know, they're like, we thought we had some stupid people, but you guys have worse people running your government, you know? And, you know, that's a whole nother subject. Cause I know like, what is it, Dan Bongino, who's saying he's calling Biden an operative for the Chinese government and stuff like that. And I was like, that's a big statement, you know,
that's bold. Or
foreign agent. That's what Dan Bongino calls him, that Biden is a foreign agent. And he's got some credible evidences, you know, to support that. But either case, you know, going back to that whole statue thing, and I think you hit it right on the head. I don't think it's just our country. It's, you know, what I noticed, it's like the very well-developed rich folks that are erecting these statues that you can tell their ideology are into false gods. So therefore they make an image of them or make an image of the something that they worship. Mm-hmm. So, and that's where I'm like, that's where we are, you know? And, you know, speaking of worship, We get our English word worship from the old King James word called worthship, right? And basically, it's any individual that is putting worth into anything that they want to worship. And obviously, we're living in a culture and a generation here in the United States that we're putting worth into sin. We're putting worth into self, you know, and, you know, we're putting worth into debauchery. And the church, sad to say, is not, you know, living a life to be separate, living a life to be whole, living a life to, you know, honor the Lord. And I wonder what God's thinking, you know, but I agree with you. I think, you know, I'm a firm believer that there's a remnant, you know, God's slowly but surely sifting out all the looky-luke, you know, warm Christians. Because, you know, he tells us, he's like, you're neither hot, neither cold, you're lukewarm. I think there's a lot of lukewarm believers, and I think those are going to be weeded out through various trials, you know, and struggles. And I think there's going to be, I think a lot of people are going to have a Manasseh moment, right?
Yeah.
They're going to be faced with situations where you're either going to repent of your sin or you're not. I don't know if you saw Victor Mark's posts, the three-part, you know, calling out people, not directly, but like he calls out people that are living in debauchery, right?
Yeah.
And he reads scripture, says right here, it says, you will not inherit the kingdom of heaven if you are habitually doing these things. And I think there's going to be a lot of people that are going to be in for a rude awakening. And I'm still in Acts chapter 13. On Sundays. And in Acts 13 and verse 22, Paul says David was a man after God's own heart. When you look at King David, that guy was a sleazebag if you think about it. You know, I mean, he had Uriah killed, hooked up with Uriah's wife, Bathsheba, right? I mean, he made mistakes upon mistakes. But the one thing that I'm realizing was David always sought for God's forgiveness. David sought for God's, you know, heart and asking the Lord to, you know, because obviously he wrote the Psalms where it says, broken in a contrite spirit, he will not deny. And I think that, you know, there's a message where as individuals, if you're still tender and you're sensitive to conviction of the Holy Spirit and you know that you have an opportunity to repent, you need to repent, right?
Yeah.
But at the same time, if individuals are consistently hardening their own hearts, that's where Romans 1, it says that God gave them over to a reprobate mind. And so I think it's important for, you know, individuals where if you're 50-50 in your walk with the Lord today and you don't know where you are, you need to repent of your sin, get right with Jesus Christ. Because if you don't, if you think that you're going to get away with it, you know, the Bible says God is not mocked. And so God knows all our details. And, you know, we can't hide, you know, our sins from the Lord. And I think it's important for you and I, for, you know, those that are watching, to, you know, evaluate, you know, look at where you are, you know, take stock of your relationship with Jesus Christ. You know, every month when we do communion, there's that text in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 when Paul says, let a man examine himself. And
yeah. Psalm 139, verse 24, and see if there is any wicked way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. Sometimes maybe we're not real sure. And so yeah. you can invite God in to do a little bit of a, I don't know, a head to toe, you know, mm-hmm. doctor check. Hey, God, tell me if there's any wicked way in me, anything that's against you.
Right.
Yeah. Michael, 15 minutes left, man. Tell me about Israel.
Oh, man. 15 minutes? See, we should have talked about Israel in the beginning.
You're the one that put the time cap on this thing, not me, Aaron boy.
Come on. You know, there is a data study done that people's attention span is locked in around 45 minutes because of commute, 45-minute commute, or workouts are 45 minutes or around there. But anywho.
I'm surprised. You know. I'm surprised. But, world of microwaves and Instagram shorts, I figured it would be.
Yeah. Well, if we go, we can go the Jocko route and go 5 hours.
Touche.
You know, but Israel, if you are a believer and you have an opportunity to go to Israel with the church, okay? I know a lot of Calvary chapels go to Israel, and there are other churches that do as well. This last time I had an opportunity to go with Turning Point USA Faith, hosted by Pastor Rob McCoy, who pastors Godspeak Calvary Chapel. And it was a pilot program where, you know, Pastor Rob is obviously friends with Charlie Kirk. And he told Charlie Kirk, he's like, I think we should take a group of pastors to Israel, not just Calvary Chapel. Most Calvary Chapel pastors have gone at some point, but open it up to other denominations. So, which was a very eclectic group in the sense that we had Pentecostals and then we had conservatives, yes. Right? So we had, you know, name it and claim it, you know, group in there.
Yeah.
And you had your Reformed group in there. But this was probably one of the best trips that I've been on. I've been to Israel one other time. Nobody complained, not once. I didn't hear any complaints at all from anybody. And there was 44 of us, no complaints at all. Everybody had this great attitude, you know, but seeing that I only have a handful of minutes, number one, if you have an opportunity to go to Israel, save your money and go. I jokingly say like, oh, you know, take a second on your house and go. But I say that jokingly, but then I say that seriously too, because why? You know, when we buy cars, we go into debt. When we buy a house, we go into debt, right? We go into debt when we renovate our house. We take a HELOC on it. And my pitch is, however you can afford to go to Israel, you need to go because it's a rare opportunity for the Bible to come alive in Israel. You know, when you first get to Ben Gurion Airport, there's this presence. Like, this is where ministry happened. It's in God's country. Like when we went to Caesarea, I was just teaching in Acts how King Agrippa built a stadium out there that all was covered in sand, and when it was excavated. And there's a state auditorium there and looking at the Mediterranean Sea, you know, and I could see King Agrippa looking up and there's a bright light. And I'm just, you know, his story says how he got sick and stuff and tried to take glory from God. And you know, and then you drive to, you know, Tel Dan or Golan Heights to the up north of Israel. And you see, again, a temple like Moloch, where they were offering and sacrificing babies. Those are, historically, it's all there, being preserved. You know, when you go to Chorazin, right, completely black, dark, you know, there's no growth, but it's made into a national park. But we're told in scripture how Chorazin was cursed, right? And then you get to the Dead Sea is a phenomenal experience. You get to float in, what is it, 90-some% salt. And I was literally standing, but afloat, you know. And then you go to Jerusalem, you know. Let me rewind back. I forgot about the Sea of Galilee, right, where Jesus did a lot of ministry. And how he recruited Peter, John, James, and all those guys right on the Sea of Galilee. And I'm like, there's a one portion when we floated out on the wooden boat, and you do your wingspan of your hand to the left and to the right. Within that wingspan is where Jesus's ministry was, you know, started and took off. And, you know, those things are the ones that really brings things to life. You know, when I was able to lead worship at the Mount of Beatitudes and lead worship at, you know, different locations, at least personally for me, it's like, wow, I got a chance to play my guitar and sing and lead a group of pastors and their wives, you know, and their Hezekiah. So going to back to Jerusalem, when you get to Jerusalem, there's this like sense of like, man, I'm walking where Jesus walked, right? And, you know, I encourage people, you know, we save for vacations, save for an Israel vacation, because it's definitely worth going there and really strengthens your love for God's people and your love for the Word of God. And it's just absolutely amazing. And, you know, people say, well, it's dangerous in Israel. It's like, well, you know, last I heard, it's more dangerous, you know, in Portland and in Phoenix and LA than, you know, other places. So Israel is a safe place. Jerusalem is a safe place. You see little kids running around everywhere. Had a phenomenal time. And, you know.
I got to correct myself real quick here, Michael.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, the Spirit is correcting me. It was Josiah who came after Manasseh. So it was Josiah who got to see this change in Manasseh. Okay.
Yeah.
Mistake corrected. Back to you.
Well, you know, speaking of Josiah, all those guys that live in those times, they, you know, God used them to build, you know, facilities or buildings that when you go to Israel, you see it. You know, when you go to the Wailing Wall, when you go to the old Jerusalem city, I mean, you see stones that are still there built in how many years ago, right? And, you know, I can tell, because I've been there once before. Pastor Rob said, you know, he's been there like 15 times. I have a church member, him and his wife, he's been there like 16. His wife has been there like 12. And, you know, they really have a love for Israel. And so, you know, I'm teaming up with Calvary Chapel Long Beach, and he's hosting a one bus tour. So there's, I think upwards of 50, but I get to go again with a group of people with our church, you know. And it's like the Bible. When you go to Israel, there's always something new you experience, right? And I'll close with this. One of the highlights was when we're going, walking through the old city, and, you know, you get to go to the Jewish quarters, the Arab quarters, and all this stuff. But we took a detour into this spot where, you know, you might have heard it. It's called the King's Game. When Jesus Christ was beaten, battered, and bruised by the soldiers. And in this, underneath the old city, you walk through, obviously, you know, underground or lower basement areas. And then they have this area where it's covered with the plexiglass and it's protected. And it was a real somber moment because it's the spot where Jesus was, you know, beaten, punched, battered, kicked. And the soldiers were calling him out, you know, saying, hey, who kicked you? Who punched you? And that was a real somber moment for me because I realized Jesus Christ died not for some of my sins, but all of my sin. And John 1 tells us that he came to die for the sin cause of humanity. And I realize, I'm like, that grace is readily available to anybody that calls upon the name of the Lord. Right? And so if you're a cop, if you're a firefighter, or, you know, you're in the thin line of something, work some overtime shifts, have a savings account, and start saving some money. The trip is anywhere from $4,000 to $5,000, depending on what church you go through and what tour guide. We had a messianic tour guide. His name was Yuval. And he got saved in 96 or 98. And it was such a delight to have a messianic believer give us the tour and just talk about, he was making the Bible pop, you know, and it was a trip of a lifetime, you know. And I think I can't encourage others enough to, you know, say, hey, you need to go to Israel somehow, some way. And I told my wife, I was like, man, if I could, I could see myself living there. You know, I'll probably be the only Korean, but hey, that's okay.
Yeah, probably.
I'll open up a Korean barbecue place.
Heck yeah. Okay, so one thing I want to just go back real quick here, Michael. I know you're limited on your time here, but I want to mention something about Manasseh here because we did talk about him a little bit. We talked about abortion a lot, but I don't know that we give folks any hope because there may be somebody listening to this that did go through with an abortion. And we're not here to shame you. We would like to leave you a little bit of hope. So here in 2 Chronicles chapter 33, you can read about this Manasseh guy, this king of Judah. And listen to this part. It says in verse 6, also, he caused his sons to pass through the fire in the valley of the son of Hinnom. So Manasseh himself, post-birth, aborted his kids. His sons, it says plural. It's not just one. So he did this more than once. And then later on, at the end of verse 13, it says, and this is after Manasseh had been taken captive. In fact, I'll read that part in verse 11. Therefore, the Lord brought upon them the captains of the army of the king of Assyria, who took Manasseh with hooks, bound him with bronze fetters, and carried him off to Babylon. Now later on, verse 13 here, at the end of it, it says, then Manasseh knew that the Lord was God. And ultimately, he humbled himself. He removed all the things that he had put in the house of the Lord, and so on and so on. And the Lord saw his humility, and he blessed him. This is pre-Christ, you know, this is pre-Jesus, the ultimate sacrifice, who said it is finished. There's nothing else required of us. If this king who had done total nasty, gnarly abominations through the better part of his life, and then at the end of his, toward the end of his life, is finally humbled, removes all those things, that's called repentance, right? It's changing your mind about the things that you have done previously, and then removing them from your life. That is an awesome picture of repentance right there. And I fully expect to see this guy in heaven, in spite of what he did. And I think that's an incredible testimony to you and me of God's grace and God's mercy on us. And abortion, or whatever the sin is, it can be forgiven. The only sin that the Bible says is unforgivable is the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, which is the rejection of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
So if there is sin in your heart, or if you need to know, is there something wicked going on in me? Just like, I believe it was David said, search my heart, Lord. Let me know if there's any wicked way in me. Maybe we need to pray that, right?
And that was just for reference, it was 2 Chronicles 33.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep. And I don't recall seeing that in 2 Kings. So I'm not sure if it goes quite into as much depth with Manasseh in Kings.
I think you bring up a good point. You know, this is pre-Jesus Christ. And, you know, I remember talking to I'll leave her nameless. I'll call her Jane Doe. Come into church one day, and after a study, just starting to weep. And I took her aside with another sister, and, you know, she was confessing to how many babies she aborted, you know. And, you know, she on the outside, she had that look that every woman, young and old, would love. She was pleasant on the eyes. She had, you know, she wasn't skinny. She wasn't overweight. She was just like that. She had that figure and dressed nice, had a nice car, you know. But the inside, there was, you know, obviously a broken heart. And I don't even know what message I gave. All I know is I gave a message, and I was sharing how God can forgive every sin, right? And, you know, you're in law enforcement. I am no longer in law enforcement, but as cops, we see evil of evils. And again, Manasseh was a bad dude, right? The Bible says that if we repent, that God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. And this young lady, when she had confessed of all her abortions, I said, this is the difference between if you repent and accept Jesus Christ and if you don't. I said, those babies were created in God's image, even though it was out of sin. And at the time of abortion, when their heartbeat ceases because they're not at the age of accountability to know about sin, death, and I said, they're in the presence of the Lord. But I encourage this young girl. I said, if you don't know Jesus Christ, you'll never see your babies again. In hell, you're going to have all your senses, right? You get to see, you get to hear, you get to touch. You get to probably smell, because you could have memory, and you're going to be in hell knowing the fact that you're going to be eternally tormented, you know, or you can accept Jesus Christ, accept his forgiveness, and see your future kids. And her demeanor changed because she had hope. She's like, Are you telling me that Jesus Christ can forgive me from all my sins? I said, yeah, every single one, except the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. And it was neat because the lady that I brought in so that I'm not alone with this girl, I handed the ministry off to her because she's like, I too have aborted not one, but many babies. And of course, in my head, I'll be like, what? Right. But I just, you know, and I just knew that it was that moment where I prayed with a girl to receive Jesus Christ, and I left her with a sister. You know, and obviously this was back in California, but I think you hit it right on the head where Manasseh, who was a vile dude, right?
Yeah.
And he repented.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And I think as officers and as firefighters in the thin line, you know, we have our own demons that we all face and deal with, right? Secret addiction to alcohol, secret addiction to drugs, secret addiction to pornography, secret addiction to affairs, and on and on. And you think that's going to put away pain or brokenness in your heart? It's not going to. And, you know, I repent every single day because I'm just such a vile sinner, you know. And I was watching I don't know if I sent it to you. Maybe I'll send it to you later. But there's this dude on YouTube. It's called So Be It. That's his channel, right? Amen. So Be It.
Mm-hmm.
But he's an actual Jew that found Jesus and moved from California to Israel, and he's interviewing Jews and just talking about Jesus. And I don't know how this channel came up, but I watched episode after episode where he was just talking to Israelis, you know, because they're Jews. All of a sudden that God's appearing to them in dreams. God's appearing to them because, you know, the Jews are not taught to talk to God. They just study whatever, you know.
Mm-hmm. So,
but it was, you know, when God is hearing the prayers of his people, Israelis, right? And, you know, when an Israeli, when a Jew actually finds Jesus, Yeshua, their fire for the Lord is just, it's on a different level, you know? And I just, you know, my encouragement, and I'll close with this. My encouragement, no matter where you are with the Lord, know Jesus Christ today, because you're not guaranteed tomorrow. And as Pastor Chuck Smith would always say, abide in Jesus Christ on a daily basis.
Nice. Good call. Thank you, Father, for this conversation. Lord, we ask that you would reach the hearts of those who feel shame, and that they would understand that is a tool of the devil to keep them from coming to you.
Mm.
Shame is a nasty tool. And Lord, if there is sin in our hearts that we are unaware of or that we have ignored, please make it known to us that we might repent of that and come back to you, might change our mind about that sin and return to you. And Father, we thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your grace. And we thank you for the story of Manasseh here, that someone so vile can be humbled by you and be turned around and brought back before you. And that there's hope for them and there's hope for us. And Lord, we invite you in to do that cleansing work in each and every one of us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Awesome. See you guys next time. Keep on listening.
Go to Israel. Get a Tel Aviv sweatshirt.
Heck yeah. All right. God bless.
It was on sale.
Sure was.